You're listening to audio from the St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com. Goodness, let's pray and we'll dig in. God, thank you. Thank you that you're here. You're at work now. And so we open our hearts and our minds for the joy that is ours in Jesus Christ and the joy that comes in searching these scriptures so we might have life and that you would change our lives to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hear this reading from Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Well, you know, this time of year really surprises me, amazes me that I ended up in the state of Kentucky. Because I played a lot of sports as a kid. I played soccer and golf and loved playing football in the backyard with my buddies. I skied. I did martial arts. I mean, I did all kinds of sports. But truth is, I am absolutely terrible at basketball. And I know that's a sinful thing to admit in the mecca of basketball here in Lexington, but I'm awful. More often than not, quite frankly, I would be last picked. And that's a hard spot to be. Are you with me? To be last picked in something? There's this awkward moment that unfolds where the captains, they get together and they start to pick one by one by one. And I do the same thing, right? You want to pick the strongest talent. Nobody likes to lose. And then they get to the end and you're the leftovers and they go, "Okay, all right." We've all been there. You weren't somebody's preference. You weren't somebody's preference for the team. You didn't have the preferential skills for the job. The committee met. And when it came to this award, you didn't meet the preferences for the award. We've all been there at some point in our lives. At some point in our lives, we were all last picked. What if you could take joy in that? And some of you are saying, "That's really sick, Brian. Why would you take joy in being picked last?" Because joy isn't a feeling. That's what we're after. Joy isn't a feeling. Joy is a state of being. In fact, we said last week, joy is perfect. It's unshakable. It's not about our feelings. It's rooted in God's presence that meets us in every circumstance, whether good or bad. And it's that joy that leads us into a great future that God has in store for us. So we can have joy when we're last picked. We can have joy when we're first picked. We can have joy in the greatest seasons of our lives. And we can have joy even in the midst of what are some really, really difficult and challenging times in our lives. And if ever there was a group of people who were picked last, it was the people of Nazareth. Somebody once famously said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And I got to tell you, I get it. I've been there. You look at Nazareth, it was a town of about 1,000 people in the days of Jesus. It was a blue-collar, roughneck town. A lot of the people lived in caves. There's a picture of an archaeological excavation of what people would have lived in Nazareth on the left there. The rabbis said of Nazareth that it was a town of low religious character. How would you like for that to be said about the place that you live? low religious character. Thank you so much. And this is sort of Nazareth. I mean, it's off the beaten path. It's backwoods. And even if you go there today, it's a town of about 185,000 people. And I know there's some lovely people in Nazareth. I've just never met them. That's probably the issue. But you go there and nobody looks happy. I mean, it looks like an airport during busy season. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody just looks mad. And that's Nazareth. It's almost as if the stigma has carried over as being this last-picked sort of town. And you say, well, Brian, this is a series about joy. Where am I finding joy in that? Well, the joy, Luke tells us, is that it's the sixth month. Now, undoubtedly, Luke means connection to the sixth month of Elizabeth, Mary's cousin's pregnancy. But I wonder, it might just be possible that the sixth month he's also referring to is the month Elul. Say it with me, Elul. You're Hebrew scholars now, I'm so proud of you. Yeah, the month of Elul, people remembered that Moses ascended Mount Sinai for the second time for God to reinscribe the commandments. And it was known as the month of divine grace and mercy. It was a time of seeking forgiveness and granting forgiveness. And the reason this was such is that the coming months would be the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, as well as Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. So it was a month of divine grace and mercy and forgiveness, and that would bring joy. The shofar would be blown every day with this call to seek forgiveness. The people would recite Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. It was a season of joy. The joy of grace, the joy of mercy, the joy of forgiveness, God doing something new. What joys did you experience this week? Shout them out. Where'd you find joy? Great rehearsals and performances. I love it. Yes, right on. What else? Where'd you find joy? Grandchildren. Friends. Wife. Attaboy. Good grades. Way to go. What else? Basketball games that you were playing in? Did you dunk on them? Yeah, attaboy. I love it. What else? Joy, where'd you find it? A new day. What else? Just the right Christmas present. Phyllis, it's going to be a good year. I can see it already. His kids. A new football coach. Let us hope and take joy. What else? Joy, where'd you find it? Volleyball, physical therapy. I heard another one. Pickleball. Bruce is always good for pickleball. Indiana, for some. For other people, they're still in the playoffs and are moving on. Yeah, lots of joy to be found. Another one? UK's volleyball team.
Yeah. All these
Christmas decorations. Peace at the end of the day. Sunshine today. I know, it's been forever, hasn't it? It feels good to have the sunshine. So we find all these great moments of joy, even in times that might be challenging. And as we talk about the sixth month, the month of Elul, the month of divine grace and forgiveness in Nazareth, a people who are last picked, a people who seem to not be on God's preferential list, they're looking for this joy that you're talking about today. And one of the ways they're looking for that joy is they've been waiting 500 years for the coming of a Messiah. And it was said when the Messiah comes, he would be called David, the righteous branch, the star of Jacob. When he came, the fields would be as plentiful as they have ever been. The wool would be as white as snow. Suffering would give way to salvation. The sick would be healed. The lame would walk. The dead would be raised. God would be all. And in all, it would be a time of great joy for all people. That's what they're waiting. They're waiting in the month of Elul to see the very face of God. And notice what Luke says again. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city named what?
Nazareth.
To Nazareth. And we ought to just stop and circle that when we see the word Nazareth, because it's not Jerusalem. It's Nazareth. It's this blue-collar, low-character kind of town. And we have to ask the question, did Gabriel get lost? I mean, did he go out on an all-night bender? Did Gabriel's GPS break down? Have you ever had that moment? And, you know, you're in a different city and Google Maps goes down and people, I mean, you can see it in the car. What happened, Gabriel? You picked Nazareth, not Jerusalem, but Nazareth. And so he comes to Mary and says, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord's with you." And she's troubled, of course. And the angel goes on to say, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor." That's a big word. You found favor with God. And the promise to her is really simple. He says, "Behold, you're going to conceive in your womb, even though, you know, you haven't done anything about that. And you're going to bear a son. You're going to name him Jesus. He's going to be the Son of the Most High. The Lord God is going to give him the throne of his father David. He's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there's going to be no end." Can you imagine how that went for Mary? Absolutely. This completely clears everything up for me. Thank you so much. The angel goes to a 13-year-old girl, most likely 13, and gives her this kind of greeting and says, "You're favored. You're chosen. You're first picked. God has had his eye on you from before time ever began. And now in the season of waiting for salvation, salvation is coming to your people. And it's coming to your people through you." And his choice is Mary. Little Mary from Nazareth. The low character religious town that's blue collar and backwoods. And what it goes to prove is that God doesn't look for the right resume, the right social circle, or the right address. He looks at the heart. That's hope for us last picked people, isn't it? Because we've all been there. And that's where we find joy this Christmas, is that every single person sitting in this sanctuary has been specially chosen by God. Every single person sitting in the sanctuary has been specially chosen by God. In fact, it's God's preference, it's God's will, it's God's plan. We shared that all throughout the last teaching series from Ephesians chapter 1. We said that God had a will for all of creation, and it was for us to live in the blessing of his grace and peace. That's why he chose us in Christ from before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him. That's why he chose us to be sons and daughters. God's preference was for each one of us insofar as we're in Christ. And if we're in Christ, we not only have the preference of God, we have all the blessings of God. Forgiveness and provision and protection of family and eternity. And that's what God's kingdom is. It's a kingdom of upside down preferences. Where the least character town has someone who's chosen out of it, and the town with all of the character and the temple and all of the religious accoutrement. Well, they're great too, but God's got a different purpose for them. God chose Mary by his preference and his favor, and he had a mission for her. You are going to bring the Son of God into the world. You're going to raise him. You're going to care for him. You're going to prepare him for the greatest mission ever in the history of the universe. It's all you. Can you imagine the pressure of that? What's your job? Raising the Son of God. Can you imagine that? How it went that day when they lost him in the temple? How'd that conversation go? Joseph? Yep. We lost the Son of God. Sorry. I mean, if you've ever felt like you had a hard mission in life, wow. And that's what God does. All throughout the scriptures, this is what God does. He chooses a reluctant stutterer named Moses to tell the Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And then he leads them Remind you, he grew up in a palace. He leads them on the greatest camping adventure for 40 years through the desert. Moses didn't grow up in a tent. He grew up in a palace. Or I think about David, this ruddy shepherd boy, the last and least picked of his brothers. He's out in a field, and he's called in by the prophet to be anointed king, and at some point he's going to go out and fight the great champion from Gath named Goliath. I think about Jonah. What a terrible mission field. The people who hate you, that's where I'm going to send you. And sure, he didn't get there by a straight path. It was a bit of a circuitous route, but God chose him for that mission. He had God's preference. And then I think about Jesus, the Son of God, who is eternal, co-equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit, decides to park all of his power and glory in the heavens and wrap himself in flesh and blood to be raised by two poor teenage parents from nowhere. What a crazy plan that is. God doesn't work on our time schedule, does he? He doesn't work according to our preferences, but his. And the beauty of it, as the angel says, is nothing is impossible with God. Friends, I've been telling you this for 7 years now. You believe it?
Yes.
I'm starting to believe you. Do you live like it? That's where we still got to do some work. Nothing will be impossible with God. And notice the response that Mary gives. Let it be to me according to your word. That's very different from today's culture, where with every catch, people go, first down, or three ball, or look at me. Let it be to me according as you have said. There's no braggadocio. I'm not saying that we worship Mary. That is a space that is reserved for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit alone, but there is a joy here for us. Mary was 13 years old-ish, and God told her the Savior of the world was hers to raise. Wow. With all the doubts, with all the uncertainty, with lack of a roadmap, God never says, here's how you're going to get from point A to point B. She simply says, I'm in. May it be to me as you have said. And here's the joy, friends. In your life, God will not call you to anything that you can do on your own. Let me let that sink in for just a minute. God won't call you to anything you can do on your own. St. Luke, you've taught me that. God will call you to something bigger that seems beyond what you can handle, beyond your gifts, beyond your capacity, beyond your reason, beyond your intellect, beyond your physical ability. Beyond every capacity that you thought you had, that's what God is going to call you to. And he's going to show you in the process throughout the whole of your life that with him, nothing is impossible. Do you believe this?
Yes.
Nothing is impossible with him. He took a poor teenage girl and had her raise the Son of God to save the world. That's what was in Mary's heart. By the world's standards, she and her lot in life was last picked material. And yet her son would one day go on to teach this, that in his kingdom, those who are last are first. And those who think they're first are last. My prayer for you this week is that you will come to see nothing is impossible with God. Whatever mission he's got you on, wherever you're headed, whoever you interact with, may you see that nothing is impossible with God. And whether it's raising your kids or your grandkids or just trying to be a family in this challenging world that we live in, may you come to see that nothing is impossible with God. And whether you need healing for sickness or you're working through grief or you're struggling with whatever it is kind of situation, may you come to see this week that nothing is impossible with God. We're getting close. We're only, what, 17 days from Christmas Eve. I want to encourage you to sign up for the devotionals. Oh my gosh, they've been so great this past week. Thanks to all who have written for us. Read Psalm 126, post a daily sticky note of joy, pray for three people who need that joy, and invite them to Christmas Eve. It is the number one day of the year, friends, where folks who might not have darkened the door of a church in a long time, they're willing to come. Let them know the joy of Jesus Christ. Let them come to see that nothing is impossible with God. That's a mission that's worth living for. Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the joy that we find in the scripture, the joy of your favor, the joy of your preference, and how it came to the least likely candidate in the middle of an all but forgotten town, a people who were said to be of a low religious character, and yet it's right there that you came into this world. God, help us remember this week that nothing is impossible with you. Forgive us for forgetting just that. Forgive us for those moments where we break faith and relationship with you and with others in the way that we bring harm. Heal us of our sin sickness. Restore us. We thank you that you came, that you died, that you rose again. And it's for this faith that we're grateful. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.